As director, I congratulate you on the wonderful work you have achieved, which is indeed a valuable contribution to the general progress of the association. The rate of membership shows a marked increase from year to year, and we are now approximately 8,000 members. Figures alone, however, are not indicative of our development, and we have substantial evidence of work done. The association ever maintains its fundamental ideal to provide every housewife in the country with the services of electricity.
That was the voice of Dame Caroline Hazlitt speaking in the 1940s. She was not only the founding director of the Electrical Association for Women, but also a wonderful woman of whom many of us know all too little. She became director in 1924 and remained in office until 1956, the year before she died at the comparatively early age of 62. Today I have been talking with the association's present and third director, Mrs. Anne McMullen, who has herself held this office for almost 7 years. We have been discussing Dame Caroline as a woman rather than as a figure of history. I am Doreen Butt, EAW Liaison Organiser, West, and in the course of my many years of EAW work, I have found great interest amongst members about the kind of person Caroline Hazlitt really was.
Well, Doreen, we can all be grateful to you for the idea of recording a discussion between the two of us, which might help to convey to a wider circle of people some of the endearing aspects of Dame Caroline's life and work and character.
I think a large number of our members know her name through the work of the Caroline Hazlitt Memorial Trust, but are hazy as to exactly who she was and what she did.
Well, yes, a new generation has grown up since she died, and sadly without knowledge of her. It was the wide aspects of her thinking which made her an outstanding woman of her time. Her work as our director was brilliant, but she had enormous influence in many other fields. So, what do we know about Caroline, the woman?
From all I've heard and read, it seems that she grew up to be a very determined woman, although as a schoolgirl at Haywards Heath High School, she was not an outstanding success.
One gathers that she was rather a dreamer, really. Her sister Rosalind Messenger tells how she was no good at all at needlework and other ladylike accomplishments. But she was a voracious reader, though.
I think the truth was that the education of those days was not geared to a mind like hers. She was years ahead of her time.
Well, apparently she left school just before she was 18. I think the headmistress had by then acknowledged defeat.
Well, after school she had a longish spell of ill health, and then later she took a course at a commercial college in London. It was after a basic business training that she entered the then very male-dominated world of engineering.
Yes, that was a pretty unusual thing to do in those days, wasn't it?
It was indeed, but I think we have to look back for a moment to her days of poor health if we are fully to understand the woman she eventually became.
Yes, I'm sure you're right. Those days had a profound effect on her thinking and on all her future actions.
Yes, she simply hated to see human energy wasted.
Well, that was amply confirmed in a later broadcast when she said, speaking of those early pre-electric days, "The kitchen stove burnt coal, which had to be brought in buckets from the outhouse, and the flues had to be cleaned, and the stove itself polished with black lead by hand. On washing days, the scullery copper was lit, and it took all day to get the piles of dirty linen washed, the frilly white underclothes, and also the heavily embroidered cotton garments, which were worn at that time, needed heavy starching and ironing, and so the work of the house went on and on, sweeping, scrubbing, polishing, and dusting, all done by hand. No wonder Mother got tired. I did not want to spend my life like that. It seemed a waste of time."
She wasn't prepared meekly to accept that a woman's work was never done. She felt strongly that there should be the same limit to the hours of work done by women as there was to the hours of work done by men.
Exactly. She regarded the whole system as archaic and unacceptable in its entirety. She saw women in the true perspective of that time, shackled to the exhausting repetition of boring household chores.
So by the time she entered the world of engineering at the Cochrane Boiler Works, she had passed through an important period of reflection that was to influence the future lives of all women in this country.
She spent 4 years, I think, with Cochrane's, both at Ammon in Scotland and later in their London office. But it was in 1919 that she applied to be the first organising secretary of the newly formed Women's Engineering Society. And 5 years later, after a brilliant start to a distinguished career, Caroline Hazlitt was appointed to the post of Director and Secretary of the Electrical Association for Women, conceived by a group of Women Engineering Society members, together with Caroline herself, who provided dynamic inspiration and leadership in getting the concept of the EAW translated into reality.
My goodness, yes. And all the time, Caroline had in mind the thoughts from that earlier period of reflection. She had come to realise that electricity, which fascinated her to the core, could eventually become the greatest liberating factor in the whole history of domesticity, and therefore in the lives of women. And that, of course, has come to pass.
This fact has been highlighted in a marvellous recently published book, A Woman's Work Is Never Done, by Caroline Davidson. It's a history of housework over the 300 years between 1650 and 1950. And Caroline Davidson carried out some of her research at EAW headquarters, as a matter of fact. She writes in her book, "The first female pressure group to have any effect on women's work in the home was the Electrical Association for Women." She goes on to say, "Electricity, it seems, had a slow start, partly because of the degree of cooperation necessary to provide a national grid, and partly because people found it difficult to understand and therefore mistrusted it. It was Caroline Hazlitt who helped substantially in getting women off their hands and knees and out of their washtubs to enjoy the benefits of the more constructive and less physically demoralizing way of life that all of us enjoy today."
You have been placing great emphasis lately on the EAW's beginnings and on its aims and objects.
Well, yes, indeed. The National Executive Committee believes that these are still vitally important, not only to our own members, but to everyone who uses electricity today and who doesn't. Caroline was instrumental in creating the first consumer education and information body in the world. And to the best of my knowledge, the EAW in this role remains unique. Though, of course, happily, as you know, it has been adopted by others in New Zealand and in Trinidad and Tobago.
Of course. Caroline Hazlitt was active in many, many other fields of work besides the EAW.
Well, yes. The list of her achievements is tremendous. But let's, for now, dwell on her as a person.
One gathers that although determined and positive, she was never one of those bossy, pushy women. I understand she had a very gentle manner.
Well, I believe that's right. My uncle, who was a director of the Parsons Engineering Company, headed by Sir Charles Parsons, whose wife, you remember, founded the Women's Engineering Society, he knew Dame Caroline well. He's told me that she was a tall, very attractive and elegant woman who always stood out in a crowd. She never made a noise. She dressed extremely well and her appearance was absolutely immaculate. And he told me that her light brown hair was always beautifully arranged in the style of the day. She was very quiet and she spoke in a well-modulated voice, which you heard earlier. But she had an aura of attraction for all with whom she came into contact.
I think the portrait that hangs in our committee room confirms that description. The personality comes through, doesn't it? I suppose her family background must have contributed to the strength of her character to a large extent.
Yes, I agree. She came from Worth in Sussex. Her father was, not surprisingly, an engineer, and she had a wonderful mother. The family was deeply religious. They were great chapel goers and practical Christians working voluntarily in the community.
I gather that Caroline was actually a lay preacher. One thing I do know is that she was very fond of flowers, and she must have been pleased when the Iris Society named a new white iris Dame Caroline after her.
And as the eldest of five children in a typical late Victorian family, Caroline played the role of protector to her younger brothers and sisters. She was a very kind girl and much loved by them.
There's no doubt that Caroline Hazlitt had a vision of the relationship between men and women in the working sphere that has been rather overshadowed by the more recent ideas expounded by the brasher extremes of the feminist lobby.
Well, I simply can't imagine what she would have made of some of those. Her concept was that women should take their natural place beside men in all things as equal partners, and doing the same work for the same rewards. She saw women sharing, but without any loss of their natural femininity. I think this is exactly what women should be aiming for. Aggression was never Caroline's scene. She achieved through example and persuasion.
It is sad that she became ill and died at the height of her powers. A member of the Central Electricity Authority, of the Electrical Development Association Council, and a public figure having many other important responsibilities.
Yes, and she was ill for so many, many months, but always she kept on working with her pad and her pencil. Do you know, one of her last acts was to write to Lord Citrine on the day before she died to thank him for the gift of a magnificently inscribed resolution on vellum, recording the appreciation of the Central Electricity Authority for her work. And the next day, New Year's Day, 1957, she suffered a coronary thrombosis, and she died quietly and peaceably, as she had lived.
I do hope that this chat between us may help others to appreciate Caroline Hazlitt's life and work, and I hope, too, that it will increase the awareness of all who may hear of the Caroline Hazlitt Memorial Trust, which today continues to fulfil her ideas and aspirations through helping girls and women to enter scientific and technological careers, with a special section for electricity. Support is greatly needed, and donations are most gratefully received by the trustees at EAW headquarters, 25 Fobert's Place, London, W1V2AL.
Caroline's watchword was "get things done." What an admirable axiom for all of us, and not least for Caroline's successors. Indeed, under the 20 years long directorship of Miss Mary George, CBE, who followed her, the association got an immense range of things done. Now, it is up to all of us to act rather than to talk, and to achieve rather than to dream.